And,
is it Ms. Ramos?
Ms. Ramos, I'm not sure she has been contacted.
Okay. Pardon me, sir.
I know my family was trying to reach her. I'm not sure if she was reachable or not. I will, and possibly my parole officer, Angel Sandoval.
Okay.
Mr. Johnson, we're going to need your help, sir, on this phone.
Okay.
Three is feasible, correct, Mr. Johnson? Three people is feasible?
Yeah.
All right, thank you. Just one second, Mr. Magrillo, and then we'll get started with hearing.
I see how the list.
Thank you so much.
I'm going to borrow yours, I don't know.
Who is ours?
I would like to note that my wife.
I think we have the right one.
Sorry, the person you are trying to reach has a voicemail box that has not been set up yet. Please try your call again later. Goodbye.
Okay, that was Patricia Magarelli, so.
What's the new number, sir?
That is the new number. 760-285-4880.
Is that the new number, sir?
No, it's 760-285-4350.
Is that the right number?
Okay, all right. Yeah, that was the.
Is it the same one?
Well, the one he has up here is the one.
I have an amendment to request before you read the allegations.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
The leech has a voicemail box that has not been set up yet. Please try your call again later. Goodbye.
Okay, that was not working. That's it.
That's fine. My daughter has a dentist appointment today. She probably has a phone turned off for that.
Please enjoy this Verizon ring back here while your party is reached.
Casey!
Hello?
Hi, Michelle Magarelli.
This is Sharon.
Hi, this is Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. It's our understanding that you wanted to be on the hearing with Jonathan Magarelli?
Yes.
Okay, we're in the process of getting ready to start that hearing. Could you just please hold on, stand by on the phone, do not hang up. We got to connect one more person, okay?
Okay, that'll be fine.
It's our understanding that you wanted to be on the call for the hearing for Jonathan Magarelli?
Yes, the family member called and they requested if I could be present on the telephone. I said yes, I would be in the office on that, in the state.
Okay, so we are in the process of getting ready to start that hearing. Mr. Quinones will be getting ready to start that hearing now, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, do we have Ms. Magarella, Ms. Magarelli's
questions? Didn't answer the phone. You have
I'm sorry, Cheryl.
Cheryl and the PO Sandoval. That's when we couldn't leave a message because it said that the message system hadn't been set up.
Okay. Is Ms. Cheryl Magarelli on the phone now?
Okay.
Cheryl Magarelli?
In fact, Mr. Johnson got to hit another button. Ask him.
Ms. Magarelli, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay, we're going to start with the hearing. Thank you, ma'am. Okay, Mr. Sandoval, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, good. Now we can get started. Okay, Mr. Magarelli, can you state your full name and ADC number for the record?
Jonathan Magarelli, ADC number 303-874.
And I believe we need to make an amendment here from our community corrections officer, Mr. Sanders.
Yes, sir. On allegation number one, condition seven, use of cocaine, the environment report date indicated shows 131 of 18. That should be 27 of 18. And on allegation number three, use of methamphetamine, also the lab report date shows 131 of 18. That lab report date should reflect 27 of 18. Subsequently, on the second page, that lab report date should be reflected instead of 131 of 18. It should be 27 of 18. That is all.
One second, sir, and I'll make that adjustment.
I would like to note that on my task laboratory sheet, where it says confirmatory test, the use of cocaine was not confirmed.
Sir, if you'll just stand by, we're going to begin this hearing, and we'll catch up on that issue.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, sir, again, you stated your full name and ADC number for the record. Well, we have your supporters and, or your supporter and your parole officer on the phone. Good afternoon.
Yeah, hello.
You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding your community supervision. This hearing is regarding the three alleged violations listed on your warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying you of this hearing at least 5 days ago. I see that you signed that form on March 8th, 2018. Is that correct, Mr. Magarelli?
Yes. Yes, sir, that's correct.
Thank you. That form listed your hearing rights. One of those rights is that you could hire, at your expense, a lawyer to represent you. See no attorney with you in the room. Are you representing yourself today, sir?
That's correct, sir.
Thank you. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing. This afternoon, we're authorized for a four-member panel. The individual sitting closest to you on the video screen is me. My name is Louis Quinones, and I'll be serving as the panel chairman for your hearing. Next to me is the Honorable Mr. David Neal. At the center of the bench is our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright. And at the far end of the bench is the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson. Also in the room is our community corrections officer, Mr. Sanders, and will be representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer. Before we get started, I need to swear you in as well as your supporter and your parole officer. So, just give me 1 second. Mr. Magarelli, Ms. Cheryl Magarelli, and Mr. Edgar Sandoval, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and so you affirm? Mr. Magarelli.
I do.
Ms. Magarelli.
I do.
And Officer Sandoval.
I do.
Thank you very much. You. Oh, and I'm sorry about that. I'm getting a little caught up here.
Supervisor Sanders.
Yes, and Oral Supervisor Sanders. Affirmative. Okay. Mr. Magarelli, this hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one will be to determine if you violated the conditions of supervision. With phase two, deciding if your supervision should be continued or revoked. So keep in mind, this hearing is in two phases, and there's a separate vote to pass through phase one and a separate vote for phase two. When I read the allegations to you, pardon me, you need to respond whether they are true or false. If you believe an allegation is false, the board will take testimony from the Department of Corrections, and then we can talk about it. But keep in mind, the board members will make the final determination whether or not you violated your conditions. Do you understand what I just explained to you?
Yes, I do.
Thank you, Mr. Magarelli. I will begin phase one by reading from the warrant of arrest. According to the warrant, you violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed or probably about to lapse in a criminal razor company as follows. Allegation number one, violation of condition number seven, as demonstrated by use of cocaine on or about, on or about January 29, 2018, for the task lab report dated February 7, 2018. Mr. Magarelli, is this true or false?
That's false.
Okay, sir. Allegation number two. Violation of condition number two is demonstrated by your failure to report to your assigned parole officer on February 5th, 2018, as directed per report letter dated February 2nd, 2018. Your whereabouts were unknown Duster and absconded from supervision. Mr. Magarelli, is this true or false?
That's true.
Thank you, sir. And allegation number three, violation of condition number seven is demonstrated by your use of methamphetamine on or about January 29, 2017, for the task lab report dated February 7, 2018. Mr. Magarelli, is this true or false?
That is also true.
Thank you. Based on your submission of false, we need to take further testimony from our community corrections officer, Mr. Sanders, and we'll come back to you shortly for questions. Mr. Sanders.
Allegation one. On tier number 129 in 2018, the offender reported to the Yuma Parole Office located at 7125 East Juan Sanchez Boulevard, San Luis, Arizona, 85349, for a scheduled appointment with his assigned parole officer. The offender submitted an oral swab specimen for substance abuse screening. On 2-7 of 18, task reported that the offender's specimen was positive for the use of cocaine. I do have additional testimony on that for the board.
Yes, sir.
The screening lab report indicates the positives and negatives for the drug screening. It is standard protocol through training with the task lab reports that cocaine test positive for cocaine, therefore no GCMS confirmation is necessary to ascertain the exact molecular structure of cocaine. The only other derivatives from cocaine, lidocaine, novocaine, and the such, are also controlled substances, and without any kind of prescription, any of those said substances would not be permitted.
Thank you, Mr. Sanders. Thank you for that clarification. Okay, back to you, Mr. Magarelli. What is not true, or what is false, pardon me, about allegation number one, violation of condition number seven, the use of cocaine?
I have no knowledge of the use of cocaine. I have never used any cocaine. If it was mixed with the meth, then that's something that I didn't know about.
Well, thank you for accounting for that. I am going to make a motion to pass through phase one. This is not going to end our hearing. I want to make sure that I'm clear on that. Sometimes it comes off that this is where it's ending, but this is just phase one. So I'm going to make a motion for phase one, and that is based on Mr. Magarelli's admissions on allegations two and three, as well as information provided in the warrant number 2018W0354, as well as information provided by the Department of Corrections, again on allegation one, violation of condition number seven, use of cocaine. I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision that he may have or have lapsed in a couple of ways or company.
Second.
Agree. Was seconded by Dr. Wright, correct?
Yes, sir.
And agreed upon by Mr. Johnson and Mr. Neal. Okay, Mr. Magarelli, we're going to continue with the second phase of your hearing. During this phase, we will determine if your supervision should be continued or revoked. But before we move on, please stand by as Mr. Sanders, our community corrections officer, is going to give us additional background information. If you'll just remain on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly for questions, and you'll be able to speak to the board in detail. Thank you, sir. Mr. Sanders.
Yes, Mr. Magarelli was released on 8-1-2017 with a date of arrest of 2-14-2018 by the U.S. Marshal's Office, no new charges. He was back in DOC custody on 2-14-18. With an adjusted CSED of July 25th, 2018, reflecting 9 days of absconded time. His current conviction in 2015 on 3 counts, 1 theft of means of transportation, receiving 3.5 years, 1 dangerous drug violation, receiving 2.5 years, an additional dangerous drug violation, receiving 2.5 years. No prior convictions, his first term in DOC. CUIR score is a 2-2, mental health score of a 3, substance abuse score of a 3. No STJ affiliation noted, no prior terms of supervision. Has a moderate disciplinary history. Other arrest information. 1997, burglary 3rd degree, Arizona juvenile probation. 98, possession sale of marijuana, Arizona juvenile probation. 2000, drug paraphernalia violation, Arizona juvenile probation. 2005, DUI liquor drugs vapor combo, Arizona misdemeanor conviction, probation. 2015, stolen property, Arizona received community supervision. As a G1 V2 score, that is all.
Thank you, Mr. Sanders. Back to you, Mr. Magarelli. I'm going to make a quick review of your case supervision summary. It looks like that you were released from the Department of Corrections to reside with your mother, Ms. Cheryl Magarelli, located at 1575 East 26th Place, in Arizona. Is that where you stayed for the entire time that you were outside of the correction system?
That is correct.
Were you working at all during community supervision or when you were outside of QC?
I did odd and ends to pay for my community supervision. Nothing stable.
Now, we have quite a bit of programming notes. Again, you're referred to task for substance abuse screening. You submitted 6 oral fluid samples while under supervision. Only one tested negative for the illicit use of drugs or alcohol on 9/13. 2017, you submitted oral fluid sample which tested positive for the use of amphetamine only. On October 18, 2017, you submitted an oral fluid sample which tested positive for the use of methamphetamine. On November 27, 2017, you tested positive for the use of methamphetamine and marijuana. On December 12, 2017, you tested positive for the use of marijuana. And again, on January 29, 2018, you submitted an oral sample which tested positive for the use of methamphetamine and cocaine. We have considerable sanctions notes, sanctioned with the report and referred to community bridges for intensive outpatient substance abuse treatment. In November, you have staffing with senior parole officer due to self-admitting to having used marijuana and methamphetamine on or about November 20, 2017. You were sanctioned at 30 days of residential treatment at Community Bridges as an intervention measure. Sanctioned to continue with intensive outpatient substance abuse after completion of residential treatment. In January 2017, you had staffing with senior parole officer due to your oral fluid sample obtained on December 12, 2017, tested positive for marijuana. And I'm just going to kind of move forward, going all the way to January 29, 2018, submitted your urine analysis sample which tested positive for methamphetamine and cocaine. You're not sanctioned due to your failure to report for sanctions. So, Mr. Magarelli, you were missing from community supervision for 9 days. And let me confirm that, Mr. Sanders, that was 9 abscond days?
That is correct.
Thank you. What were you doing during those 9 days, sir?
My baby girl, her birthday is on February 14th. I have not spent a birthday with her in years. And I promised her I'd be there on her birthday. And the one thing that I've learned since being in prison is that time is the most precious thing I have with my kids and memories. And I just wanted to make new memories, that I wanted to be there for her. I apologize sincerely. I did not want to start. I did not want to end up back in prison. I learned that if I always do what I've always done, then I always get what I've always got. And here I am. I sincerely apologize. I had every intention on turning myself in on the 15th. However, when the U.S. Marshals, when I realized that the U.S. Marshals were following me, I did pull over and I did surrender without incident. I didn't want to have my kids go through any of that. And I'm sorry for not reporting. Like I should have, I was just scared that it was my 5th 30 And I was going to go back in here and miss her birthday.
Okay, so let me get this straight. Your concern was that your last drug test was dirty and it was very close to your daughter's birthday. Were there any restrictions up front, if you will, from seeing your daughter while you were on community supervision?
Excuse me?
Did you have any restrictions as far as seeing your daughter when you were outside of the correction system on community supervision?
I did and I didn't. My wife and my kids reside in California, Winter Haven, California, which is a border town to Yuma. So I could not go to California. So that it made things difficult, yes, but other than not being able to spend time with her whenever I wanted to, there were no restrictions.
And pardon me, I just said outside of the correction system, I meant outside of prison while you were on community supervision. So your daughter was on the California side of the border?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. Did you have a positive relationship with your parole officer, Mr. Magarelli?
I did indeed. I want to thank him for being firm but fair with me.
I think you already explained, oftentimes when people are picked up on absconder status, it's from one of the uniformed police departments, but in this case, you were picked up by the Marshal Service, one of their fugitive apprehension teams. So what were you doing when they caught up with you?
I was out buying cupcakes and balloons for my daughter.
I guess the big question is, Mr. Magarelli, is it seems that you've had some real struggles with drug abuse. That's probably the larger reason why you've been returned to the prison system. What are you doing about your drug addiction?
Well, I was doing outpatient treatment. That didn't work. I was admitted to inpatient treatment. I was discharged 6 days into it because of a family emergency. And then I was to continue intensive outpatient, which I was doing. Every sanction that I received through the parole board, the parole officer, I complied with. I went through so much in the 7 months that I was released. From day one, I was granted divorce. From day one, I was served with divorce papers that I was not expecting to receive. I was under the impression that me and my wife were going to try to reconcile differences. I found him in bed with another man. We reconciled differences after that. And then everything just started to spiral downhill, my best friend of 17 years passed away just before Thanksgiving. My sister went to the hospital for a schizophrenic episode where she was arrested at the hospital. Later that night, the county jail, she broke her dentures in half and tried to commit suicide. The next month, my dad went to ICU. He almost lost his life. Although he pulled out of it, we did get lab results back saying that he moved from stage 3 into stage 4 of his liver disease. And around that time, I found out that my niece, Haley, had been molested by her neighbor. And, I tried so hard to rise above it all. And, it was so hard for me to deal with life on life's terms. Life threw me curveball after curveball, and I missed every time. And, I know that I don't need to be back in prison. I feel that I would just like to ask the board to release me, if it, house arrest, or even to an immediate inpatient treatment program. I know that I would benefit more from that than anything. I do have lots of support waiting for me outside. I have job opportunity waiting for me. What can I say? I am an addict, but I'm not just defined as an addict. I'm so much more than that. I'm a father, I'm a husband, I'm a brother, I'm a son, I'm an uncle, and I'm tired of wasting time sitting in prison. I did not reach out to any old friends when I got out. The only friend that mattered to me died. And I did not commit any new crimes. I know that when I change, everything changes.
Okay, sir. I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you, but I do have one last question, and that is, how was inpatient treatment working out for you when you were outside of the prison system?
It was great. I was 6 days into it, and at first I didn't want to be there, but by the fourth or fifth day, my mind started to clear, and I felt like myself again. My dad ended up in ICU, and I didn't want to leave treatment, but I didn't want to lose my dad while I was in there. And I don't want to go to my dad's funeral and change because I'm sitting in prison. Like I said, he's in the stage 4 liver disease now. I don't know how much longer he has to live. I'm not using that as an excuse, but I will take myself to my go to his funeral and change.
Okay, sir, I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions. Yes, Mr. Johnson.
Sir, you said you wanted to get out and get into another program, but apparently, sir, the programs that you were in, you repeatedly continued to use drugs while you were out, sir.
The outpatient program, yes, that was true. I found out that my dad went from stage 3 to stage 4 liver disease, and that my niece had been molested by our neighbor in the same week, and it was too much for me. I don't know what to say.
All right, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Any further questions from four board members? Okay, Mr. Magarelli, we're at the stage of the hearing where we're going to ask for testimony by your supporter as well as information from the parole officer who's on the phone. So I'll begin with Ms. Magarelli. Are you still on the phone, ma'am?
Yes, sir.
If you'll state your full name again.
Cheryl Ann Magarelli.
And what would you like to share with the board, ma'am?
Jonathan, I just wanted to reiterate that Jonathan, when he talks about all the trauma that he faced when he came home, all of that did happen. My daughter tried to commit suicide. She split her wrist. My niece was molested by a neighbor. When Jonathan went into the rehab, I kept in pretty close contact with his parole officer. And I let him know right up front that Jonathan needed drug rehab. I had never seen my son cry as much as I have in the last 3 months. And when his dad went in the hospital, he was in the rehab. Not only does he have stage 4 liver disease, he became septic. And he had poison in his bloodstream. And they didn't think he was going to live through it. He lost 33 pounds in 10 days. And at that time, I had requested that Johnson be able to be with his dad. And several times he told me, Mom, I don't know, I want to be there, but I don't want to leave. He was starting to feel better about himself. He was happy. He was the Johnson that I know. And I know Jonathan has a severe drug addiction. But I also realize that he does not have very good coping skills. But I do believe rehabilitation would benefit him. It's either he has to learn to get off of drugs, or he's going to spend the rest of his life in prison, because he's going to keep going back to that. I'm his biggest supporter. There's nothing that I wouldn't do for my son. And he wants that. I really don't have anything else to say other than I hope he can do this.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you for being so direct with the board. And the one thing I didn't say throughout Mr. Magnoli's testimony is that please accept my sympathy as the panel chairman for like such an awful run of tragedies. That is a lot to contend with. So thank you, ma'am.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Okay, now I'm going to move on to our parole officer who's on the phone, Officer Sandoval.
Yes.
If you can state your full name again for the record.
It's Edgar Sandoval, parole officer.
And is there anything you can share with the board today?
The only thing I can say is we tried to get Jonathan on the right path with treatment. I know he had tough situations. I confirmed his dad was in the hospital and was given the opportunity to be bedside because he was on ICU at the hospital. So I did confirm that. So the treatment coordinator at CBI came to an agreement, and after doing an assessment, that he was good to go as far as giving permission to see his father. And on two occasions, he was given permission to get out of treatment to go see him, spend time with him. And he was actually transported by CBI transportation and taken back to the facility. His dad was going to be transported out of town, and it was recommended for him to the discharge instead of asking for days to go see him because it was interfering with his treatment. They felt that he was stable enough where he could continue on with intensive outpatient. So their recommendation was that the main thing that he needed is to be next to his dad, which was what he was going through. So other than that, the only thing, my concern is the next time he tested positive, and then he now he was using cocaine, and based on his criminal history, we're concerned about public safety and especially this current offense. That's all I could say. Other than that, every time I had an appointment with him, he would show up. I believe on two occasions I did have to go up and drop a letter for him to report to me. I was told by the marshal that he was on the California side when they were trying to apprehend him. So they ended up apprehending him in Arizona, but he was spending time in California. So that's about it.
Okay, so I'm going to ask one question, and it's certainly not to put you on the spot because it is this board that has to make a tough decision.
Mm-hmm.
But what is available to him? He has a sentence end date of July 25th, 2018. So this board, if this board decided to vote to return him to community supervision, what sort of programming is available to him for that amount of time? By the time he's released, that's less than 3 months, if I'm not mistaken. Less than 4 months?
The main concern would be availability of programming. Sometimes it takes up to 2 weeks to a month to get somebody into residential treatment. He would have to go into residential treatment, but again, they can walk out and leave the facility if they want to, but they don't keep them against their will. So, I don't know what to tell you. There's no structure or they have to hold them there. He could just walk out at any time.
I do appreciate you giving us details. And again, it's on this board to make a decision, but it is good to have as much information as we can get. So we appreciate that, sir.
May I say something?
Yes, go ahead, ma'am, but we're getting close to the end of our hearing.
The only thing I wanted to say is that the Crossroads Mission does have a four-month program. And yes, it is true, they don't keep him there against his will. But I feel that if Jonathan got the opportunity to go through that program again, I do think he would do it, and I don't think he would leave.
Thank you, ma'am. Okay, Mr. Margarelli, we're getting close to the end of the hearing. Is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We only ask that you don't repeat anything that you've already told us, especially in the interest of time management. But this is your hearing, so is there anything else that you need to say?
Yes, sir. In 2011 and 12, I did successfully complete intensive drug court. I have been on intensive probation before, which I completed. I am capable of completing parole. I just ask the board to please give me an opportunity to be there and spend time with my family. My father might not have enough time left, and I don't. I'm just very sorry for absconding to those ideas. And if the board does grant my release back to community supervision, I will prove to the board and to parole and to myself and my family that I am changing, because when I change, everything does change. And I just thank you all for your time and for your genuine consideration for me in this matter.
Thank you, Mr. Margarelli. The board will be going into discussion now. It may sound like that we're speaking with you directly, but is the board discussing the case amongst itself before we come to our individual votes under the open meeting laws of Arizona? So if you'll just remain on the phone, you can listen in on the discussion, and we'll come back to you shortly with a decision. Okay, sir?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Margarelli. The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, this is one of those tough cases, in as much that we have to think on behalf of the people of Arizona, and there's numerous factors at play. It's not simply just a question of a relapse or a setback, but we're dealing with an individual that seemed to have ongoing issues with falling back on drug abuse during times of stress and tragedy, and I do have sympathy for the stress and tragedy, but there's also the business of a pattern, and frankly, we don't talk about this enough, but the crimes that surround the use of drugs, how people pay for their drugs, the company of the people that they keep, and this is combined with him absconding, although for a short period of time, into another state. So while I have a lot of sympathy and I'm a big supporter of drug rehabilitation, I'm not sure if Mr. Margarelli is a suitable candidate for returning to community supervision, but I am open to the discussion input of my colleagues.
I agree. I'm not supportive of returning him to community supervision.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Doctor?
I agree, because he did, I know there was a short period of time, but he did go across the state line. That's against any time that one is on special, on probation or community supervision.
Okay. Then I'm going to go ahead and make a motion and see where the votes land, and that is based on the information provided to this board in warrant number 2018W0354. Our discussion with Mr. Magaway, as well as information provided by the Department of Corrections. I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Magaway was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse in a criminal ways with company, inasmuch that he certainly was relapsing into drug addiction and left the state on abscond status, and that is my motion.
Second.
Agree.
Seconded by Mr. Neal, agreed upon by Dr. Wright and Mr. Johnson. Mr. Margarelli, we don't pleasure in these decisions. We have to make tough decisions on behalf of the people of Arizona. We have to put public safety first. Supervision has been revoked. You'll be released, and this is the important part, and I'm asking you to take the positive, but you'll be released on or about July 25th, 2018. It may sound like a long time away, but it's months, not years. We encourage you to pursue any programming that's available to you inside the Department of Corrections, in particular NA or AA. I think those 12-step programs can be very valuable. And again, put together a plan for your safe return to the community. You have support. You have your mother on the phone. It sounds like that there are other family members out there to support you. There's a job waiting for you, at least I hope. and you have family. Once you're released, you won't have issues crossing that state line. You will no longer have a parole officer, and you can pursue your own drug treatment at your discretion. So with that, the hearing is concluded. No further discussion may take place. And Mr. Magarelli, we'd appreciate it if you get the phone to your CO3. Thank you, sir. And I think we need to end our phone call.